strong word did cleave the darkness. At thy speaking it was done. For created light we thank thee, while thine ordered seasons run. Hallelujah.
Grace and peace be from God our Father, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We're used to broken promises and empty words. Words that are vacuous. Words that are simply lip service, are we not? Politicians, they make campaign promises. They speak words of hope for us and to us, only for us to later realize that these campaign words were empty and non-binding. Things that were said in the planning process, and their words were unable to deliver on their promises. Read my lips. No new taxes. I will not cut funding for the farm bill. I will create new jobs. I will balance the deficit. And so forth. Employers and supervisors make words with promises only to have these promises rescinded due to budget cuts. You can expect a raise next year. Yes, there will be a job promotion ahead of you and for you if you work hard. This fertilizer should get you an extra 10 bushels per acre if you invest now. We also know marketers make promises that we should know better not to trust, but words that we deep down hope are true. With 4 easy payments, you will obtain this fantastic exercise video, which will then bring you on an exercise journey to lose 30 pounds in just 5 weeks. Invest now and you can expect a 20% return, just like these fantastic individuals before you. Purchase this product and your wildest dreams will come true. Yes, these words sound promising and they give us this warm, fuzzy assurance deep down within, but you, like me, have experienced the frustration of words not coming to fruition. We've experienced the comfort of words only to have this very comfort stripped when the words didn't deliver, thus implanting and creating this lingering doubt within us, doubt within our mind that says, I will believe it when I see it. However, I suspect that you are like me and that you have also failed with words yourself, words that you have used to others. All of us, we've made promises to our employers, our colleagues, our friends, and family, only to default on these promises, only to see that the words were not effective in having the results that we had promised. Painfully, you have spoken words to your spouse saying, trust me this time. Indeed, trust me this time. It won't happen again. Everything will be okay. Only to find out that they are not. You've spoken words to your children, words that testify that you will be at that precious baseball game or that gymnastic event or that recital, only to default and fall and fail to follow through with your words. It is no wonder why we are suspicious of words. We have all been sinned against ourselves with words. We have also failed in delivering on our promises. Furthermore, like I just said, we are guilty of this sin when we speak these false truths, these empty words that fail to bring forth the integrity that we hope to possess. Tragically, this is our human condition. We are broken and dead in sin, which results in broken, false, and indeed vacuous words. The consequence of this is that we are suspicious of words. In fact, we are so untrusting of words that we demand outward signs, things to validate and hold these words in check. You know what I'm talking about. When we submit words on a job application, we need to have references on the employer for the employer to call in order to verify if our words of self-assessment are true and right. Our words are not typically taken at face value. Thus, the need to place down payments, sign contracts, shake hands, and so forth. God, indeed, He calls us to let our yes be yes and our no be no, that we're to be truth speakers, yet we fail and sin with our use of words and need to have outward signs or tangible things in order to validate and hold these words and other people's words in check. Do you know it was really no different during the time of Jesus' day? The Jewish population, they demanded outward signs as well. In order for something to be true and right, they wanted to see the proof in the pudding, as they say. And guess what? Jesus did give them signs. During the 3.5 years of Jesus' ministry, he traveled the countryside doing miracle after miracle, healing the sick, giving life to the dead. Yes, the lame walked, and the blind could see. The buzz in the air was that Christ, he indeed did miraculous things. But why did he do these miraculous things? Although Jesus performed these miracles and signs to make himself known and to lead people to faith in him, the underlying purpose was to focus their attention on the words that he spoke rather than the signs themselves. The visible signs and miracles, they testify to the truth of Jesus' message. In other words, these signs and miracles of Jesus were done not as a means to their own end, but they were done so that the people might believe that he was indeed the Messiah. The signs and miracles were to be like a catapult that grabbed a hold of the people and launched them to the person of Christ and his faithful, true words for them. See, my friends, Christ is much different indeed than you and I. Whereas our words are many times false and powerless, Jesus' words are true. Jesus' words are powerful. Where we demand signs to validate our words, Jesus gives signs and miracles to point us back to his word. In the case of our gospel text that we read earlier, the Jewish official is insisting that Jesus come to the place where the son was at the point of death. In response, Jesus said to him, "Unless you see signs and wonders, you will not believe." What Jesus is addressing is the problem that the people of the day many times had. They became distracted with the miracles and signs of Jesus and simply regarded him as a miracle worker. They saw the miracles and signs, and they failed to see the one behind the miracles and the signs. Therefore, as we heard in this gospel reading today, Jesus does not go to the official's residence to heal his son, but rather he speaks the words, "Go. Go. Your son will live." Jesus is taking this man from a miracle and sign faith to a true saving faith in Jesus' word. What makes Jesus the Messiah is not that he can do miraculous miracles, but that he actually is the Messiah, that Jesus' words are actually true and actually powerful. Do you see the significance of this, my friends? Jesus speaks a word, and the official's son is healed instantaneously. Jesus does not go to the man's dying son on purpose. He does not go, and the reason is so that the official would trust the truthfulness and power of Jesus' word and his word indeed alone. Unlike you and me and the people of the first century, Jesus' word is true, and his word is indeed powerful for us. The Word of God, simply stated, does stuff. It does stuff. The Word of God does stuff. In the Old Testament reading from today, we hear about God creating this world by the power of his Word. God said, "Let there be light," and it was so. As God speaks the world into existence in Genesis chapter 1 and 2, and especially 2, we see Jesus, the Son of God, declaring that the official's son was healed. And so it was. And get this, just as the Lord speaks the world into existence and speaks healing into existence, he also speaks faith into existence in you and me. Each and every Sunday, you come here to hear from the Word of God. We come to our divine services to hear the Scriptures, and every time that we open up the Scriptures, God, he indeed speaks to us. His words are not just mere information that you and I are to act upon, but it is the living and active Word of God. The Word is like this double-edged sword, as stated in Scripture. It's like this hammer. The truthful word of God, it invades us, it invades you, it invades me, it interrogates us, it exposes our sin, thus it kills us, destroys us, but it delivers us promises. It grants us faith. The word of God does this because it is true and because of the Holy Spirit working in and through this word for us. The word breaks through and it wounds, and the word comes against our old Adam, the sinful flesh, the sinful nature, and it ascribes redemption solely to the blood of Christ. Therefore, listen and open your ears, you who fail with words. Listen and open your ears, you who speak promises only to bankrupt those promises by your failure to fulfill. Listen and open your ears, you who speak false truths, fibs, lies. Listen and open your ears, you who offend God by your thoughts, deeds, and especially your words. Listen to a new word. Listen to a new word. At the mighty cross, a cross that drips of Christ's blood, your sins were forgiven. Yes, your sins are forgiven, thus saith the Lord. Indeed, you are wholly and totally forgiven. So, my friends, in light of this new word, this word of God that comes to us and declares this reality of who we are, that we are indeed forgiven and cleansed. In light of this new word, when the devil rises to speak counterfeit words and false truths, lies, and so forth to you, because he certainly will, tell the devil this: the tomb is empty. For surely you know that it is true, for you yourself heard the words of victory from my Lord Jesus Christ, who cannot lie, that he indeed finished everything for me. Yes, I am indeed a poor, miserable sinner, yet I have heard the absolution from my pastor, who in the stead and by the command of Jesus Christ proclaims to me that I am clothed in the blood of Jesus, forgiven. Indeed, Jesus' word is true, and he has promised me salvation, redemption, and forgiveness. Evil one, you should surely know this, for Christ even descended to Hades to announce his very victory, a victory that he accomplished indeed for me. God's word is true, my friends. It is effective, and it is so certainly for you. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the words of Christ Jesus. Hallelujah.